Back now with Day to Day. Earlier this week, the Griffith Park Observatory here in Los Angeles hosted a very special guest.
Oh, it's sensational.
So you're looking right up at Sirius and Orion, of course.
It's a great Milky Way as well.
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
Inside the observatory's planetarium, this special guest received a special honor. One of the planetarium's seats, a good one, in the center, had been named after him. A little plaque on the armrest bears his name.
To honor astronomer Dr. Brian May.
That's what it says,
that
right there.
That's incredible.
You've probably never heard of astronomer Dr. Brian May, but you've probably heard this. A classic from the British rock band Queen. It was written by astronomer Dr. Brian May, Queen's lead guitarist. Okay, rewind. How did a rock star become an astrophysicist? Well, actually, it was the other way around. 35 years ago, Brian May was studying astronomy when the band he was in hit it big. He put his studies on hold as Queen went on to sell something like 400 million albums.
Open your eyes, look up to the skies and see.
A few light years later, well, just last year, Brian May finally finished his PhD dissertation. The subject? Interplanetary dust. And he's co-authored a book that's out now. Its title almost sounds like the title of what could be a Queen song. Bang! A Complete History of the Universe. Brian May and I spoke for a few minutes at the observatory. He's tall and thin and wore black pants, a black Edwardian-length coat, white sneakers, and an electric Hawaiian shirt. His hair is a kinky black mass, long in the back. I asked him to put on his astronomer's hat and explain the beginning of everything, the Big Bang.
We can't see the beginning, no matter how good our telescopes get. We will probably, I would say almost certainly, never be able to get back to the very beginning. And there's a couple of very good reasons for that, and one of which is that the universe was not transparent at the beginning. It was opaque, it was a plasma, and it was only quite a long time after that, suddenly there was this transition and light could travel without bumping into anything.
So how can you even say that when exactly the beginning was?
Well, one way you can do it is by extrapolating things back, because everything's moving away from itself, so you extrapolate back and figure out when everything was not separated at all. So that's the crude estimate, really, of where we are.
And then do you have a theory for the end of the universe, the end of time?
One is that it just goes on expanding forever. Things get very sparse. You get very lonely. One of the theories is that things continue to expand right down to the smallest scale. So after a while, not only does the sun flee from the other stars, but the materials within the sun and other stars and the planets and us start to disperse as well. So eventually everything expands away from itself. And you're left with a sort of something which approaches zero density, which is a pretty bleak prognosis, isn't it? Some people think that the universe will stop expanding at a certain point and start imploding on itself again, and there will be a big crunch at the end.
What do you
corresponding
think?
To the Big Bang. What do I think? I would say it's a fairly good guess it goes on forever. The Earth is long gone by then. See, my thing is I look at humanity now, and I'm not sure if I want it to be dominating the universe. I don't think we're that good at handling our own planet at this moment. It makes me shudder when we talk about going to other worlds. I'm not that kind of person, you know. I just think we make such a mess of everything. I'd prefer it if we got confined to this corner and until we learn how to behave.
Well, speaking of behaving, you've done lots of different things in your life, and a lot of people know you as something completely different.
Yeah.
A rock god, a rock star. How do you...
Is that right?
What do you think of yourself? I mean, do you now consider yourself an astrophysicist, and do you... Is that who Brian May is right now?
I'm probably still trying to figure out who Brian May is.
Do you like being called Dr. May?
Yeah, I do. I worked for that. But I love being able to have my feet in these different worlds. It is a dream, and I realize that I'm in a very fortunate position.
There seems to be a complete... I don't know, since I've never experienced this before, but it would seem to me that there would be completely opposite sensations when you're standing on a stage in front of maybe hundreds of thousands of fans, when you are so big in the eyes of so many, and then when you are looking at the stars and you are so tiny.
That's a good question. I don't feel very big on stage. I just feel like I'm part of a big party, I think. I don't feel big in that sense. I think music is part of communication. I think it's part of the way that people touch each other, and that's very precious to me. And astronomy is, in a sense, an opposite thing, because instead of looking inwards and looking towards the people around you, you're looking out to what is outside us and beyond our grasp. So I think an awareness of sort of inner space and outer space is complementary. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's nice to have both things in your life.
How have you incorporated astronomy into your music?
We're doing our first studio album with Paul Rodgers, which we call Queen plus Paul Rodgers. There's a kind of cosmic overtone to it, and I think we're going to call the album The Cosmos Rocks. I guess astronomy is creeping into music in that way.
Mm. What about Galileo?
Galileo?
Galileo.
Galileo comes to me in various ways. It's amazing.
It's, Galileo.
It's odd, isn't it? Life is full of strange connections.
Brian May, Dr. Brian May, thank you very much.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Mamma mia, mamma mia.
Mamma mia, let me go. Beelzebub has a devil put aside for me. For me.
Miniature opera Bohemian Rhapsody featuring Dr. Brian May on guitar. Pictures and an excerpt from his book, Bang, A Complete History of the Universe, are at our website, npr.org.
Drive the country roads of America with your car radio tuned to AM, and you're sure to encounter this next voice.
Just say you love me like you used to, and make the world go away.
Country singer Eddie Arnold died yesterday, just days before his 90th birthday. He was born in West Tennessee, where his parents played fiddle and guitar. Eddie Arnold's father died when he was just 11, and the boy had to quit school to work on the family farm. When the family lost that farm, they turned to sharecropping. Eddie Arnold's memories of poverty fueled his ambition to become a musician. As a teenager, Arnold started performing at local dances. He would become known as the entertainer with a gentle voice and a wholesome man.
The stars up in the sky know the reason why.
145 of his songs made it onto the country Billboard charts. By the time he released his final album 3 years ago, Eddie Arnold had sold more than 85 million records. And singer Dinah Shore once described his voice as warm buttery syrup being poured over wonderful buttermilk pancakes.
He rides in the sun till his day's work is done.